The film The Messenger, which opens today, tells a different kind of war story. It portrays the lives of two U.S. soldiers who have to notify families of the death of loved ones in Iraq. The soldiers are played by Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster. Foster's character is Sergeant Will Montgomery. He's just returned from a tour in Iraq when he's assigned to what's called the Casualty Notification Team. Montgomery doesn't want the assignment, but his superior officer, played by Eamon Walker, tells him it's a sacred mission.
Montgomery, this job is about character. Now, I have had soldiers go out on notification and break into a stutter. Men so nervous, they read from a script, or they get the name wrong, or the address. Too many tears. I need men of solid stature. Now, you are a model soldier. Hell, you're a goddamn hero.
The Messenger was shot entirely near Fort Dix in New Jersey. It's the first film directed by Israeli-American filmmaker Aaron Moverman. Moverman spent 4 years in the Israeli military. He says the idea for the film came up in conversations with his co-writer, Alessandro Camon.
Interestingly, you know, I'm from Israel. He's from Italy. We're both outsiders, foreigners, legal. We talked about, you know, politics, about the war, and how obscene we found it. There's a certain part of the war that's not part of the conversation and not part of the dialogue. Specifically, people have to live with the consequences of the decision to go to war. In America, we have a professional army that's a small percentage of the population. And if you're not associated with it, you don't really know about the hardship of the people living with these wars. And so he brought up the idea of casualty notification as a way to, a very dramatic way, obviously, to enter the lives of these people in a traumatic moment and kind of shine a light on families and returning soldiers and the concept of the soldiers who don't return and how that's treated in the everyday.
Well, I think we should really hear the depth of tragedy of what you had your two leads, Ben Foster and Woody Harrelson, experience. This is one of the early calls where they meet the pregnant girlfriend of the soldier who was killed. First, she's in denial, and then she understands. And we should tell listeners, too, that this is a pretty gut-wrenching scene.
Sir, tell me. Oh, my God. Oh, no, please, God, no. Oh, my God.
What's going
on? No, please.
Bad news, Mr. Burrell. Secretary of the Army has asked me to express his deepest regret that your son, Private First Class Leroy Burrell.
No, no, no. You gotta go. You gotta go.
I'm very sorry, Mrs. Burrell.
No! Listen! No! That's my baby.
Talk a bit about the protocol of what happens when these two messengers, these two army messengers come to the door and have to announce this. They have one person that they can talk to. Is that it?
Well, what's happening in that scene is that the girlfriend opens the door for them, but the next of kin is the mother. And the protocol says that you have to notify the next of kin. And that's specified. Every soldier fills out a form where he says who he would like notified if something happened to him. So, you know, there are all kinds of rules that they have to follow. And in this particular scene, Woody Harrelson's character is just so by the book that he's let in by the girlfriend and he looks at her and it's gut-wrenching because he's about to break her heart, but he actually cannot communicate anything to her officially. And so he's told that the mother is seconds away from arriving, and so he waits, but he's basically making it worse because it is an experience that no one's really prepared for, even if they know that their loved one is away at war.
And it's even more gut-wrenching because the acting method that you used in The Messenger, you didn't rehearse any of the six calls in the almost two-hour movie to the widows and parents. And I guess the two leads, Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster, didn't know who they'd be calling on.
Yeah, that's right. We actually didn't rehearse anything in the movie. We wanted to make it a very raw kind of experience that happens in the moment. But for the notifications, what I did is basically separate the two sides. So the notifiers never met the people being notified. I spoke with them separately and we prepared separately, but everyone was encouraged to go off script and invent and feel in the moment what is happening. And we threw everyone off set. We shot in one take. You know, it was just a great approach for us because it felt sort of obscene to overstructure it. It's a human moment and you want it to be just living it.
I mean, so much has been said about The Messenger so far as, you know, this great film of the Iraq War. And yet, strangely, there's no fighting. There's no blood. In fact, there aren't even any shots of bodies. And I kept thinking, you know, there was this whole argument about no pictures, no images of repatriated dead soldiers. And I'm wondering if you saw this film, The Messenger, as serving as a sort of proxy for the lack of exposure to those images.
Yeah, I mean, that was the motivation behind making the movie originally. We wanted to show some of those images, and we knew that they were illegal at the time. We made this film in the summer of 2008. It was still the Bush administration, and it was still illegal to show coffins, to show funerals. Even talking about the names, for some reason, gets people upset in this country, which we found ridiculous, because our approach was to show these things as a way of honoring the soldiers, not as a way of making an anti-war statement. This movie is not political in any way. It's a movie that takes a look at the emotional battle that has to do with war. And the truth of the matter is that the war is much longer after it's over. We have to realize that once they're coming back, the soldiers, and they will be coming back at some point, the much longer war begins, which is, you know, getting back to living in a society, having experienced the horrors or inflicting the horrors or watching them. And this is, you know, our responsibility as people who sent them over there in our name, whether we support the war or don't, to kind of pay attention and make them a part of the conversation.
Big agenda and big ambitions for The Messenger. But the script sat around for a long time. Sidney Pollack looked at it and wanted to heighten the love story aspect. Pollack, of course, sadly died last year. Ben Affleck looked at it, too. And a lot of studios told you, we love the idea, we hate losing money. You weren't obviously discouraged, though.
No, we were not. We were told throughout the process that, you know, we shouldn't make the movie, that it's not something that people want to talk about, it's not something that people want to confront, and it's definitely not something that people want to see. But we beg to differ, and we thought all along the way that we're going to make a movie that's going to work on its own. We're not going to try to compare it to any other quote-unquote Iraq war movie. We were just going to make the best film possible. And, you know, you have to believe when you're making a movie, no matter what the movie is, that whatever you're making is going to be the one.
Now, I mean, it's interesting as far as what the reality is and what the truth is. The Defense Department actually has a liaison office in Hollywood, and they work with certain projects. It's interesting to note that filmmaker Catherine Bigelow's acclaimed film, The Hurt Locker, did not get assistance from the Defense Department Hollywood liaison. You did. Did you see this as kind of a blessing from authority that you were on the right track for this film?
It was definitely a blessing. We were surprised and very pleased that the U.S. Army decided to support our film. I think that from their perspective, they just saw us honoring a certain tradition that started in Vietnam of casualty notification that was very respectful and really highlighted some of the pains and the problems that people who are in the military or families who are associated with the military are going through. And I think that they were very honest about how they were going to support us, and they were very straightforward with us and really kind of creative partners in it in a sense, because they gave us technical advice. We had a Lieutenant Colonel Paul Siner was his name on set every day, and we were talking with him and kind of figuring out problems as we went along. I'm uncomfortable with the idea of authenticity in movies, but there was a responsibility to keep things as accurate as possible.
As intense as your film is, The Messenger does have humorous moments in it, most of them showing the budding friendship between Captain Stone and Sergeant Montgomery. In this scene, Captain Stone is driving around a neighborhood where he has to make a casualty notification, and he seems to have gotten lost.
Should be in the next couple blocks.
We should just ask someone.
No. First of all, men don't ask for directions, much less soldiers. Soldiers on a notification definitely, positively, do not ask for freaking directions. No GPS, no MapQuest. We navigate. Second, you never want to park too close. They hear a car park, go to the window, see two soldiers getting out. It's just a minute of torture. Now, I should warn you, some of them do have guns.
R.M. Overman, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.